and welcome to the Oh My Goddess podcast. This podcast is your go-to resource for creating an abundant life and business through blending spirituality, sensuality, and strategy. I'm your host, Hayley Tapper. I'm a feminine empowerment coach and business mentor for coaches and creative entrepreneurs. Join me each week as I share how to build a wildly successful empire whilst honoring your femininity, trusting the guidance of your intuition, creating the confidence to be fully expressed, and stepping up as a goddess in your own right. Make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any of the goodness contained in this podcast. Okay, now let's dive into the episode. Hi, my loves, and welcome back to another episode of the Oh My Goddess podcast. I'm your host, Hayley Tapper, and this week on the show, I'm interviewing Bayan Khatoob. Bayan is an inclusion and diversity specialist from Saudi Arabia, and she is just an all-round amazing woman, and I'm so excited to share this interview with you. So Bayan is a former client of mine. I've had the honor of supporting her in one of my group programs. So I've seen the behind the scenes of her business and her work and seen just how passionate she is about what she does. And so I knew that I had to get her on the show to share all of her magic with you. So in this interview, we talk about, or rather I ask Bayan about how we can create really diverse and inclusive businesses, particularly in the coaching industry and the personal development industry. And so we dive into a conversation around that. It's really interesting, and I think you're going to get a lot out of it. So we go into the relationship between spirituality, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Bayan shares how to spot the difference between authentic inclusivity, as in doing the real work and, you know, really going deep with this stuff versus just kind of doing it as a tokenistic gesture. And she shares how, particularly in the coaching industry, in the personal development industry, we can become more inclusive and some steps that we can take to actually put that into practice. So I know you're going to get a lot out of this episode. I can't wait to hear your thoughts and your takeaways. As always, please connect with me over on Instagram. Make sure to connect with Bayan as well and let her know your thoughts. I've got all the links for that in the show notes. I've got all of Bayan's details in the show notes as well. So if you want to check out her offers and ways to work with her, you can do so there. I personally have hired Bayan in my business to have a consultation around diversity, equity, and inclusion in my business, and I found it so helpful, so useful, and have been able to implement so many of the strategies and suggestions that Bayan gave me as a result from that, and just feel so much more grounded now in what I'm doing and ways that I am able to cultivate diversity in my business. So I think this is something that we all need to have proactive measures around. And so I am really excited to share this interview with you and share Bayan's work with you. All right, let's dive into the interview. Hi, Bayan. Welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you here.
Hello, Hayley. Hi. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Yay, me too. I think this conversation is going to be so good and so needed, obviously so needed. And I can't dive into it with you.
Yeah.
So I wanted to start off today's conversation just by asking you to share a quick synopsis of your story and how you came to do this work. What would you like to share?
So I'd like first to introduce myself. I am a woman, a Muslim, Arab. I'm obviously from Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. I am a mom of two kids. I'm physically able. And I am an Arabic and English speaker. I am heterosexual. So I thought of introducing myself from my education journey, because what brought me to diversity, equity, and inclusion is my journey through education. So starting from childhood, I have been to schools in Saudi Arabia. So I went to private school and then to a public school, so which was totally very traditional, as you know, segregated, so schools for girls only.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to a local university in Saudi Arabia. After that, I got married, and then me and my husband went for a scholarship journey for him mainly, but I was like with him. We went to Melbourne, Australia in 2008, and I have the opportunity over there to study master's of health administration. Over there, I was exposed to diversity, but to me, it was like an unconscious awareness of diversity. So, diversity of different races, different cultures, different ethnicities and ages, because when I was studying over there were like various spectrums of ages, from people who are totally young like me and people who are really like in their maybe 50s, 60s, like this, who have been like working in hospitals and like wanted to combine education with their work. So I was exposed to that. But I started to feel or to see myself as a minority, carrying this very visible Muslim identity over there. And what was unique over there is that as much as there were diverse cultures, there have been like little talk about these differences. It could be related to the people I were exposed to, like the environment, like it was totally like health environment, like talking only about science and these things. And it could be related to my personality as an introverted girl who just wanted to hang out with people who look like her, maybe, or just who feel comfortable with. Okay, after that, my husband, we both finished our studies and we went to Canada in 2012. By then, I started to be a mom of two kids. And over there in Vancouver, Canada, I started to have this conscious awareness of diversity. Like it was so obvious, the diverse races, diverse genders and sexualities, which I wasn't aware of before, diverse abilities I see everywhere, diverse ethnicities and ages. So, trying to pursue my dreams, and because I wasn't happy doing the health stuff, I at that time was seeking to find what is my passion, to do something that is related to my passion, to have an education that lead me to a career that is like for my passion. So I had an opportunity to teach before studying, to teach on Saturdays for Arab kids who wants to enhance their Arabic. So after they finish their regular schools in Canadian schools, so on Saturdays they are exposed to 1 day a week studying Arabic and Islamic studies. So I got the opportunity to teach here, there, having no background of teaching really. And it was like, looking back now and reflecting, it was so funny how these kids were, they have the similarities of being Muslims, being Arab, but they were different. There were like subtle differences that I didn't notice. So I remember the first day of teaching, I wanted to do an icebreaker. So I made an activity where there are like, I put some papers, assigned different papers to different students, and asked each student to find their match. So when they find the match, like I think it was like a word and the picture, when they find their match, so they would pair together and introduce themselves to each other. This was like fifth grade. So the amount of discomfort when there was like a girl and a boy matched together to introduce themselves to each other was really high. I could notice that some girls were really, really shy to introduce themselves to like a friend who is a boy. So that was like the subtle differences that I wasn't aware of, but like I remember like how this was my first experience. This was actually 2012. After that, like 2015, when I enrolled in educational studies, because I thought this is really my passion to study the education. Everything, like I had this awareness of all of these things. I didn't know the terms inclusion, diversity by itself, but like this is what I wanted to study. So I remember I had the epiphany from the mind perspective, not really from the heart, that there are not just one truth with a big T, but multiple truths, and they all exist or coexist together. So this was really what shifted my mindset to have, because when I was back in Saudi Arabia, all I have been taught is just like, this is like there are one truth, there is one really good identity that people should seek, you know, the best version of people who should be, not embracing the differences. So differences were really not talked about, even if they exist, overlooked, not talked about. So over there in Canada, I have met different people, different background races, really like different genders. So I raised awareness of the inequality in the world. I learned more about the First Nation population through the education, really. It wasn't like this conversation wasn't everywhere over there, but because we were studying social studies and education, these conversations were really brought up, like the First Nation population and truth and reconciliation for them, Islamophobia, sexism, transphobia, xenophobia, racism, and hidden racism. And this is what I tried to talk about in my thesis. So I was like, in my thesis, I was really trying to see the experiences of Arab Muslim students who lived in Canada, but also embracing all other minority groups, really, like how the university can do better to include these students of minority groups. What are the hidden racism that are in the university? So, by then I felt included really in the university, because for the first time I can speak about my own truth. I felt visible in that side. At the same time, sometimes I felt tokenized. What I mean by tokenized, like, for example, if I went to, a meeting or a workshop, like the camera person would come and deliberately like take a picture of me. I think because like I am a visible representation of difference, of minority, so it could be a way for the university to attract international students, which is like go back to marketing and this way. Other times, this is one way of being tokenized that I thought of being. So really after, but it was really good, this experience. I really didn't have this understanding of diversity, equity, and inclusion by these terms, but I felt it really. And because my husband was on the scholarship, not myself, and because I was paying for my tuition fee. So when he finished before me, it was like before me about a year, we went back to Saudi. And what was really good that this was before COVID-19 or everything, that my supervisor agreed for me to continue my study overseas and even to discuss my my thesis, do my thesis discussion online. This is really like, it wasn't like the norm over there, but she was really compassionate with me and she and the committee meeting. So, yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. And so now you're just launching your business in diversity, equity, and inclusion consulting. Is that right?
True. Yeah.
Amazing. What an incredible story. Thank you for sharing that. And you obviously have, so much to share in this area. So now I'd love to move into just giving the listeners a really, a quick overview of what diversity, equity, and inclusion actually means. Can you speak to those points for us, please?
Yeah, sure. So diversity and inclusion, you can go to a room and find really diverse people in there. Mm-hmm. But diversity does not mean there is inclusion, actually. You can think of it by this metaphor that diversity is being invited to the party while inclusion is being invited to dance. Or diversity is having a seat in the table and inclusion is like sharing your voice on that table. So this is really what diversity and inclusion means. You can have organization where you can, where there are like equal share of men and women, but all the top management would be only men. So here you have diversity, but you don't have inclusion.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And so I know that there's a really great analogy for equity as well. Can you share that?
Equity and equality, there is like this popular picture where there are like, I guess most people have seen it, where three boys with different heights. Mm. Who are looking at the football game, but behind a fence. So it says like when they have like the same amount of boxes that they are standing to look over that game, like one box, and with them having different heights. This is equality. You give them equal seats. Equity is no, like give them like the boxes that matches everyone's height. Mm. But this is really like when you look at that picture, it's they are not included in the game. They have a fence before them. They are not included in the game. Inclusion is when you ensure that everyone's voice is heard, everyone is understood, everyone is feeling belonging. And inclusion is really about the decision makers, their willingness to change the policies, the protocols, the practices in order to make those who are like non-dominant to have their voices heard, mm. have their share in the place.
I see. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And so, my listeners are big-hearted, spiritual women, feminine leaders, coaches. So for them, why is this important for, a big-hearted coach? I think as coaches, life coaches, spiritual coaches, we consider ourselves to be so, big-hearted and wanting to do the right thing all the time and, be inclusive and be diverse and be equitable. But maybe that doesn't always translate into those things. Maybe it doesn't always, work out that way. So why is this important for us to think about? And, how can we start to create coaching businesses and, personal development businesses that are diverse and inclusive and equitable for all?
Yeah. So really there is this misconception that diversity, equity, and inclusion work does not like it's a separate field from the spirituality work. But what I really see is that in order for like everything is interconnected, and really like sometimes the spiritual leaders or spiritual people like they separate themselves from everything that is politics, everything that is negative news, which what diversity, equity, inclusion sometimes and activism like kind of work comes from. So I think there is really like an interconnection, a very strong interconnection between those two fields. First, for the diversity, equity, and inclusion leaders, I think they need to heal themselves, do the inner work. So their activism comes from a space of acceptance, a space of like an open heart, more than a space of anger and reaction. While for the people who are spiritual leaders, I think it's really important. You cannot separate yourself, especially now in 2020. You cannot separate yourself from what's going on, from all the politics, all of the things. It's a duty, I think, for everyone to be an activist in his or her own work by what you do. Just try to include everyone. I think inclusion is a daily act that everyone should practice on a daily basis. Whenever you see differences, like even in your daily life, when you go outside and see, let's say, a kid with a disability, just like instead of staring at that kid, maybe saying hi, smile, giving a compliment, and teaching your kids to do these things. I think like it's really a duty for everyone to try to include others.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you, excuse me, brought up a really important point there, you know, particularly around spiritual leaders. I know that there's a big conversation around like tuning out of the news and like not letting that negative energy. And I know you can't see me and the listeners can't see me, but I'm using the little like quotation marks, you know, like just tuning out of the negative energy, and not letting that enter your field. But I think one of the massive things that the Black Lives Matter movement really highlighted was that, you know, we can't just keep our head in the sand around these issues. We can't just not watch the news or not, like, we can't opt out of these issues. It's not a choice that we really get to make. Like, I'm trying to weave this towards a question here, but, and I'm really just kind of thinking it about it out loud, but yeah, like there is no option to opt out of this. And as a spiritual leader, as a coach or feminine leader, it is your duty to opt in to this, to look at this and to look at your own biases.
Yeah, true.
And I think particularly in the coaching industry, which, you know, tends to be quite not a diverse community. You know, we see a lot of white privileged women in this space. Who have big hearts, who want to do really good things in the world, but yeah, maybe opting out of doing the deeper work around this. So I think it's just so important for everyone and for myself included to really, you know, go follow you, educate yourself and start actually taking action towards these things. So I think from here, where I'd love to take this conversation is into how we can pick or notice what true inclusion is and, you know, true diversity is versus that tokenistic or just for show version, which I know you experienced. You shared that in your story when you were at university. But how can we think within ourselves and within others as well? And if we see it in another, like say, you know, we notice it in a colleague or another fellow coach, how can we, like, what can we do in that instance? How can we, you know, call them out and facilitate that conversation so that there is change?
Yeah. So I think the best advice I can give to everyone is just be authentic. Like, work from your heart. Don't like a copy what other people do. Not because diversity, equity, and inclusion is a very popular topic right now. that you try to copy these phrases. You know, some of the big companies would have, I really don't know the name of it, but like they have the, I don't know if it's a pledge or something like a statement, I think, a statement of ensuring that they are standing for black the black population and people of color and indigenous people. We don't need these statements. We are looking at your actions. What are you doing? It's not like you put a post, not enough to, it's good, but not enough to write a post about, okay, I stand for the black people. What in your effort you can do to enhance or to improve their experiences? Because it like damage have been done enough and for a long time. So what you think about what you can do, be authentic, because if you just not being authentic and speak about it or invite a person of color just because to be liked, people will sense your energy and would know that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I always say that we are, you know, our communication is like 90%. Our body language, people read that, they feel that. And so we can really feel, what I'm hearing from you is that people can really feel when that is authentic inclusion versus just like a tokenistic gesture. Yeah. So what would you, I want to kind of give the listeners like a, some tangible kind of steps that they can take here or things that they can go ahead and do. Obviously they can go and have a consultation with you. I've done that and highly recommend it for everyone. But beyond that, what are some things that we can start doing to really do this work? Like, are there resources you can guide people to or things like that?
Yeah, thank you, Haley. First step, look within yourself, like as you have done the work to heal your wounds, look back and like ask yourself questions like, what are my privileges, how I am privileged, in a way, what are all the privileges that I have? Like, I have a platform to speak to, for example, to speak from. Or I am white, so I have a white person, so I have lots of privileges. Like, people won't doubt maybe my abilities or my skills because I am white. So all of these privileges that you have written down, look at the opposite of them and include others, especially who have the opposite traits, the opposite of your privileges. Try to include them. Try to see what in your way you can improve them. And there are a lot of courses over there, a lot of resources to share, a lot of free resources for everyone to look at their biases and work on them. Have a diversity, equity, and inclusion expert to review your work. Just to give you an understanding of how maybe the spaces of your company, if it has a physical space or if it has an online space, the discourses, which means the language that you use, how it can be exclusionary, and the practices. Try to have somebody to do a review for your work, for yourself to be aware of how you can better contribute to inclusion.
Yeah, really good tips, because, you know, it's like you don't know what you know until you know it. And having someone like you or, you know, a diversity, equity, and inclusion specialist just come through and show you your blind spots is so valuable.
Sure.
So is there anything else that you feel called to share with us today, Bayan? Anything else that you feel the listeners need to hear?
I think this is not an easy work at all. That's why it has been avoided. This is like if you are a leader of, let's say, a company, it can be really hard, bring really hard conversations. And I have heard it like from people that we don't want to talk about these topics because these are hard conversations that can make people like feel polarized. So just if you are really ready and committed and feel the duty to work to include others, just prepare yourself to be comfortable for being uncomfortable in uncomfortable situations, because this is really an uncomfortable work. You would really have like nobody would love for themselves to know that they have the privileges or they have biases, but we all as humans have our own biases. There are like unconscious biases that we all have. This is how our mind work in an unconscious level. So be prepare yourself to be comfortable for being uncomfortable, and be open to unlearn what really have opened things for me. And I really didn't know what unlearn mean, because we don't have such a word in Arabic, unlearn. I really, when I heard it the first time, I said, what does unlearn mean? I didn't get the concept. But be ready to unlearn what you have been taught, what the beliefs that you have since you were a child, like some beliefs that we have been raised on and contributed to the bias around us.
Such an important point, just to be prepared to unlearn a lot of things and unlearn things that you've just assumed since forever. Yeah, beautiful. And I'd love to ask you as well, we didn't talk about this before the interview, so I'm going to throw you a little curveball here. So obviously, you know, you're based in Saudi Arabia, and I just love to know, like, what's the status of things in Saudi Arabia? You know, we hear in the media and on the news about women's rights and how they're changing in Saudi Arabia. But I know when I was little, I remember hearing on the news and media that women's rights really weren't very great in Saudi at that time. So I'm just really curious to know what the state of affairs is from your perspective on, on diversity, equity, inclusion in Saudi Arabia specifically.
Yeah, so definitely women didn't have lots of rights. And definitely I have been in shock. Maybe what start all this fire in myself, because I was raised in a good family, a caring parent and a loving husband. So I really didn't have a bad experience as a woman in Saudi Arabia. I was taken care for, I was loved. So growing up and then hearing things, I was like really in a shock sometimes, maybe of how naive I was, like not knowing all of the things that is going on. But this is what started the fire. This is why I sometimes like I feel so sensitive and maybe cry for little things that has inequity or but in 2016 everything dramatically changed, and women are stepping to having their voices shared, and really they are enabled and empowered by the government, by the laws. But the problem is like there are lots of initiatives to include women in Saudi Arabia. There are a lot of initiatives to diversity and inclusion in workplaces, but the problem is the awareness. Like people are not like the talk that we have in English on diversity, equity, inclusion is not there. It's not enough. There is not enough language to speaking to diversity and inclusion. Even when I type it in Arabic, diversity and inclusion, I cannot find really resources. I cannot find conversations. But the initiatives are speaking, because the initiatives are coming from the vision of the Saudi Arabia. And the vision is related to, if you know, the sustainable goals. So the global sustainable goals. So it's all related to more inclusion right now.
Amazing. And so that's why they need you as well.
Yeah, thank you. I had my lots of moments of self-doubt because the conversation is not there. Like, what are you speaking, Bayan? You're speaking something that is unspoken, or like they're really the vocab, sometimes the vocabulary, like what are the vocabulary in Arabic to speak this, to talk about this? But now I think little by little, we will see the rise in the conversations around diversity and inclusion.
Well, that's really exciting to hear. And yeah, incredible that you know, like in order to have that conversation, you need to first actually create the vocabulary around it. But I have no doubt that you are, you know, not capable and able and up for that task.
Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. So I would love for you to share where people can find out more about you and how they can work with you. And then I'll wrap up with our final juicy question for the interview.
Okay. So I consider myself starting in the work. So people can connect to me through Instagram. They can, if anyone is want to have a consultation, I open consultations to do a comprehensive review of the work to see what are the exclusionary maybe languages, practices, and like spaces we can analyze this. Or if anybody have a question around diversity, equity, inclusion, or wants a detailed plan, I'm happy to help with that. People can find me on Instagram and LinkedIn. It's all Bayan Kutub, and also on Twitter. Like, I'm available on social media.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So we'll get that all linked up in the show notes so people can go ahead and find you there. And I really do recommend a consultation with you.
Thank you.
Okay. So final wrap-up question. What makes you a goddess?
Yeah, what makes me a goddess is staying, like having all these things that make me feel myself, like the writing, the reading, listening to music, yoga. And the other part is when I see my kids in the flow of doing what they love, like just the flow of being themselves, I really like have like my heart melt. Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I had Sarah Al-Samihan on the podcast recently, or a couple of months ago now, and she had a similar answer, actually. She said, you know, when I'm with my son, that's when I am a goddess. Like, really just children bring out that goddess energy. So that's beautiful. I love that you shared that.
Yeah. I just would like to acknowledge and thank Sarah because she is the one who introduced me to you in indirect way. I knew you through her posts, and that's why I got to connect to you. And she is really a good healer, and I have worked with her, and she's really like a really, really good healer. So thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, she's incredible. Absolute powerhouse at what she does. Beautiful. And I'm so glad that she brought us together. So beautiful. All right, my love. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I cannot wait to share this with everyone. I know that they're going to get so much out of it. And for everyone tuning in, please come and connect with Bayan and myself on Instagram and let us know how you liked the show. All right, my love, I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Haley, for this wonderful opportunity. I really love talking with you today, and much love to you and your audience.
Very much love. Thank you, my love.
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning into the episode. If you liked it, I would really appreciate it if you take a moment to leave a review. I love reading your reviews, and it brings me so much joy to hear that you're loving the podcast. If you want to find out more about working with me, you can get all the details of my programs over on my website, haleytapper.com. Okay, thanks again for tuning in, and I'll see you back here next week for another episode of the Oh My Goddess podcast.